Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I pray that this little program does bring you some food, because I don't know about you, but I sometimes think about dying and going to heaven, I hope. At some point, probably spend a little time in purgatory, I think, and then to see the face of God. And I just think of all of you. I want you with me. I want you with me before the face of God. Neither of us will be able to talk, I don't think. I'd just be staring at him in awe. But that's what we're living for, isn't it? To see the face of God, to know peace, to know infinite joy and hope. My goodness, brothers and sisters, our hopes will be fulfilled. Think of that. I mean, we can't even begin really to put into words what heaven means for us. But we have to deal with the sin problem on this earth. We don't want to die with any of that. And I want to say to you at the beginning, I remember as a child, a teenager, and I remember needing to confess a sin, and I couldn't do it. I thought it was so terrible, and I thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. So finally, one day, I walked up, and the confessional was open, and so I went back, and I said, Father, I don't know how to say this, but this is what I'm guilty of. And he said, God forgives you. And I forgive you in the name of the Father. I will never lose memory of that moment for me. It was such joy and such release. He just said, I forgive you. God forgives you. You're forgiven. I'll never remember the joy, or maybe I'll remember it in heaven, but I don't think I can ever reach the joy that I experienced that day. The first reading for today says this, the prophet Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 to 9. The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let that man confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? And I certainly knew it in that day. I remember walking out of the confessional, saying the penance that the priest gave me to pray, and I went out honestly feeling like somebody had taken an iron basket or something like that, very heavy, off my back. It was gone, and I was free. And I knew it was because God had mercy. I was deeply, deeply touched by that. And even though sometimes, you know, you go to confession and we're annoyed or we're irritated or we're ashamed and we feel terrible about ourselves, but the scriptures tell us, the Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let that man confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The Lord God is my help. Is the Lord God your help? Is that where you turn first in mistakes, sins, failures? You turn to God first. Or is it to you, yourself, and your reputation, and this and that and the other thing about you? Do you turn to God? Go to confession. Your sins are forgiven. You're set free. Don't carry the baggage, no matter how long it's been since you ever went to confession. Go now. Go now. And know the blessings that will be yours. Psalm 116 tells us, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice in supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me the day I called. The cords of death encompassed me. I thought I was finished, done. The snares of the netherworld seized me. I fell into distress and sorrow, and I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and just. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord keeps the little ones. I was brought low and he saved me. For he has freed my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. God will forgive. God will forgive. It takes a long time sometimes for man to forgive, but God forgives. When we take our sins to him, God forgives us. Brothers and sisters, don't hesitate to go to confession. When you need it, please go. And I say when, because we all fail here or there. Venial sin, mortal sin, whatever the case may be, go to confession. And know what joy and delight and love comes from your Father toward you here on earth. We take the second reading, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Indeed, someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Then demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is trying. This is St. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, if you want to read back on that. But God will forgive. We just have to bring it to him in confession. And it's God who releases us. Open your heart to him. Open your heart. Because he loves you. He does not want you in this kind of anguish and upheaval. If you need to go to confession, please do. The Alleluia verse tells us, may I never boast in the cross of our Lord, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord. And that's what the Lord does for us. He died to save us. It's there for you. In a sense, and this is probably an awful comparison, but it's as though you had $1,000 in your hand and you could give it to whomever asked for forgiveness. Could you do it? Of course you would. Well, know that what you're getting when you go to confession is a priceless gift. It will never leave you. We look now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 35. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and along the way he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said in reply, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And if God put that question before you right now, Who do you say that I am? Peter said to him in reply, You are the Christ. And then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. But then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Think of that. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. I see the whole picture. Trust me. That's what the Lord is saying. Trust me. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we all have crosses of some kind to carry at some point in our lives. The deaths of people we love, severe illness, whatever the case may be, we carry crosses. But he said, Whoever loses his life for my sake. In other words, your life isn't the first thing. And that's what we do. I mean, my life is my life. This is my life. But I say, God, my life is yours. It's yours. And you will follow. You will follow me if I follow you. You will be with me. You will be near to me. You will care for me. You will protect me. It doesn't mean that some hard things are going to happen in life, but there's a way in which God stands by and protects. I remember I was driving somewhere and I pulled out of a parking spot, and this car, just as I was turning to pull out, this car shot by me going at least 70 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. Was I stunned? Of course, he might have been going to help somebody who was deeply in trouble. But nevertheless, I thought in that moment, thank you, God. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for helping me. But you need to draw close to him daily. I don't care if it starts out, you say, I only have 5 minutes. If you are only having 5 minutes, there's something wrong with your schedule. But if you have a half hour in the day that you could give God 2 15-minute periods, however you can do it, however you can set it up, if you can give him more, please do. If you can only give him that much, give it to him. Read the scriptures of the day and open your heart, because God will bless you and God will lead you. I don't mean he's going to come down from heaven and speak to you, but circumstances. You'll say, wow, how did that happen? And then you'll remember what you prayed for. Brothers and sisters, your confidence in God should be without blemish, because he will never fail you in your time of need, and he will never fail you at all. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.